Well, grace you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, Vicar Ben talked about Jesus' words in response to this guy whose focus was all wrong. It was on worldly stuff rather than spiritual things, remember? And if you remember the parable, the guy built these huge barns and put all his stuff in them, and it was that very night that he died. You can't take it with you. Jesus' point being, set your mind on things that last. This week's reading is the very next thing that Jesus says after that. So after calling this guy out who has a serious spiritual problem, he turns to his disciples and he begins with the word, therefore. Set your mind on things that last. Therefore, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, which is an extremely different problem. The first guy was basically greedy, and now Jesus is talking about worry rather than greed. Worry about food, worry about clothes, worry about not having enough. Totally different problem than greed, right? Not really. See, it's very easy for something other than God to take first place in our lives. Now, one way that can happen is if we love our stuff so much that we get kind of obsessed with it and we constantly want more. That's greed, and that's the first guy's problem. But the other way that that can happen is if we're so worried about losing something or not having enough of something that it absolutely consumes us. And that's worry. That's this week. As we reflect on Jesus' words this morning, this is where we run into a major problem in this text, and that's this. I'm not supposed to worry about this stuff, about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to put on. How am I supposed to help it? What if money's tight? You know, what if you're underwater on your mortgage or on your car? What if you're retired and you're on a fixed income? And the real problem I think we have when we approach this reading is that here Jesus is pointing us again away from worldly things, but we're people that live in the world. And I think when we take that away, that we're not supposed to think about that stuff, we're committing a very common error, especially an error that happens a lot with this particular reading. And that's when we take what we think is the general message without paying attention to the specifics. Listen to what Jesus actually says in verse 22. He says, life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. It's never less than those things. Right? In other words, you got to worry about that stuff, Christian or not. In other words, you got to be concerned about those things. Of course you do. I mean, there's no getting around it, really. In fact, Scripture itself tells us we're supposed to think about that stuff. It says your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 6:19, so you're supposed to take care of it. The problem comes when we give more importance than is necessary to worldly things. That's when our concern, which, by the way, concern is a good and a godly thing, but that's when our concern bleeds over into worry or into anxiety, when we put more importance than is necessary on temporal things. And look, that amount changes at different points in your life. I mean, the amount of worry or the amount of concern you have to put on temporal things, it changes. When you're a kid, hopefully you don't have to think about it hardly at all because your parents are providing stuff for you. When you're just starting out after college or something like that, you probably got to think pretty carefully about that stuff. Whether you can go out to a nice restaurant, what you can afford to buy as far as nicer clothes goes. But you have to go away from excessive worry. You have to avoid excessive worry. If you're blessed to live comfortably, well, then you probably don't have to think about that stuff very much at all. But if you lose your job, or if the economy tanks, or if you undergo some kind of crisis, then it's going to become very necessary very quickly to think about those things a lot. The long and short of it is, don't make the mistake that some people make in this reading. Don't make the mistake of thinking that Jesus is talking to hungry people and telling them, hey, don't think about food. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying concern is good. Worry is not. The bottom line in this problem comes down to your orientation as a human being. So Augustine, probably the most famous church father that there is, and probably the most influential as well, he thought of sin this way. He called it a human being who is turned in on themselves. A human being turned in on themselves. And you can do that with a lot, or you can do that with a little. Whether you have much or you have hardly anything. The problem with both is fundamentally the same thing. Worldly things push out God. So we get it completely wrong when we say something like, I'll take care of my faith once I get this other stuff under control. And we'll come back to that in a few minutes. We'll talk about why that's completely backwards. But I want to key in on something that Jesus keys in on first. And that's that word control. Because that's the real fallacy, isn't it? That you can control these things. I mean, sure you can work and you should, right? Sure you can earn and you should. Sure you can plan and you should. Sure you can be concerned and you should. But the bottom line is that you can't add a single hour to your life through worry and anxiety. It's easy. It's really easy to miss the depth of wisdom in Jesus' words here. But this is what he says, verses 25 and 26. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? See, he says something here that counselors have been saying for years and years and years. There are things that you can control, and there are things that you cannot control. We're supposed to be concerned about the stuff that we can control and not worried about the stuff that we can't. You can hear that, by the way, from just about any counselor, Christian or otherwise. So the real question for us today when we're talking about worrying and anxiety is, why does Jesus say it? I mean, is he just like a really good psychologist a couple hundred years before his time? What's the distinctly Christian response to worry and anxiety? Here's the deal. The exercise in counseling is basically to realize that there are things that are outside of your control and then to come to terms with that. And that's good. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, as Christians, we got to do the same thing. We got to realize that there's stuff outside of our control and we got to come to terms with that fact. There's nothing wrong with that, but faith takes the next step. That's Jesus' point. Faith takes the next step. See, there's a higher power who is in control. But even that, think about that for a second. Even that is not a distinctly Christian response yet, is it? That there's a higher power who is in control. Because really, anybody who believes in something beyond this world can say that. Anybody who believes in a higher power can say that. And it doesn't really help at all, does it? I mean, think through your problems. Just knowing that somebody or something else is in control, that doesn't make it any better. What you gotta know is that the someone or something else that's in control is looking out for you and has your best interests in mind. And that's the part you only get with the gospel. An all-powerful God who cares for you and who loves you and who wouldn't spare his own son so that you would be saved and so that you would be his. An all-powerful God who loved you so perfectly that he took your pain and your worry and your anxiety on himself and then gave himself up for you. The Apostle John writes that perfect love drives out fear. And that's what he means. And that's what the Spirit brings us back to this morning too. He says to Abraham in our Old Testament reading, fear not. And when we get it right, when the Spirit orients us away from ourselves and towards the death and resurrection of Jesus, towards the Father's perfect love for us, that's when fear and anxiety and worry are driven out by perfect love. So I said before that we get it wrong when we say things like, I'll get my faith sorted out once I get these other things under control, and that's exactly why. Faith has got to come first. It's got to be the first step, because when you approach your concerns and your problems knowing that the God who sent Jesus for you is in control, that frees you up from worry and anxiety. It frees you up to be concerned about the things that you can control and to leave the rest to God, right? And it frees you up to trust that he knows better than we do. See, this also frees us up for something else, because if sin is a human being turned in on itself, then redemption is the turning outward of a human being. It frees you up to think about other people. Some of you know who Leland Von Baron is. He was a member for most of his life here at Zion, and he passed away last year. And in the last months of his life, he spent them in bed for the most part because of health problems, and he wasn't always very comfortable. You know, and on one of my visits to see Leland, he was in some pain, but I could also tell that something was bothering him, and I wasn't sure exactly what it was. But he stopped me very abruptly in the middle of our conversation. He said, "Pastor, there are people starving in the world. They're starving. And there's enough food to go around. That's just not right. That's a human being turned out. That's a human being focused on other people. That's a human heart that mirrors the heart of God. That's a human heart that understands what the church is called to do. Of course, to preach the gospel, but also to do what Jesus says in this very reading. He says, sell your possessions, give the needy. Give to the needy. That's a human heart that understands that we are called to be the solution to our neighbor's physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. You really, for a good example of this, you don't have to look any farther than our youth. This July, our youth group went up to the National Youth Gathering, and every single one of them took an afternoon out of all the great stuff that was going on at the gathering, and they took an afternoon out to spend it shoulder to shoulder with other youth, putting together meals for people who were in need. And you know what happened as a result? It's unbelievable. Over 1 million people ate because those youth got together and spent their afternoons, instead of doing all the other fun stuff that they could do, over 1 million people ate because our youth spend their afternoon doing that. See, when Christian hearts reflect the heart of God, the world is better off. But when God brings the body of Christ together and they together reflect the heart of God, the world absolutely changes. You were invited at your baptism into the perfect love of Christ when he brought you into faith. You were invited through his love to cast aside fear and worry and anxiety, and you are now called to reflect the heart of God who loves and who cares and who feeds and who helps. You're invited to leave fear and worry behind and focus yourself on other people. And you and me and the church of God, all of us, are invited to be the tool that God uses to feed people. We're invited to be God's solution to all our neighbors' needs. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.